Okay, bring up our map if we can. Mauritania. This is a North African nation that right over there, I guess, to your right. Big country. It's been a while since we've run into one that's so severely persecuted. They only know of 150 Christians in this entire nation. 150. Usually it's always a percentage of the total population, which is still quite a few Christians in some of these nations. But Voices of the Martyr are only aware of 150 Christians alive in that nation. They do persecute Christians to death if they can find them. And so this is a tough nation right now, and I want to pray for those 150. So I'm just wanting you to kind of see where that is on the map. We've been praying for this nation since Wednesday, will until next Wednesday, and I hope that you'll add it to your prayer list for the week. I'm just going to mention a couple names, and then there are several we all know about, and I'll just pray for them when I get to my prayer. But Pug, again, a member, past member of our church, had very extensive surgery on cancer up here in his, is it right or left? I can't remember. Left side of his jaw. Had to take some bone to reconstruct the jaw. I mean, just a lot of things going on with him. This was all done over in Orlando, but Joe just told me he's been moved to Advent right here in town. He's up on the 11th floor. What room number? 1120. All right, so 1120 right here in town. if you can call, you can visit. You don't have? Don't call. Oh, that's right. All right. I know you can visit if you know him well and want to say hi and maybe pray with him while you're there. That would go a long way, I think, with somebody that's going to have a long recovery. This is not something you just snap back from and get back to work, so to speak. So anyway, let's keep plugging our prayers. And then these people did not ask for prayers, but you know when you're walking around the building, and you see people limping or people struggling a little bit, I think maybe a little prayer is in order. So Stacy Hance, I saw a big old knee brace on her knee. We need to pray for that. We know how to pray for knees. We've had a number of people who have had knee issues. Judy Perry, which I'll pray for in a minute, has major knee issues. It can be very painful and hard to do much until you can get that corrected when you got a lot of pain there. So let's pray for Stacy. I don't know if you saw that knee brace on her, but I did. Also, my brother Ray here, I just happened to see a picture of all his legs all wrapped up. Some of us have seen how he has to wrap his legs, and he's just having a number of health issues he's working through, and especially with his legs. So I want to pray for Ray here today for that. And again, I'm going to pray for Nigel, but Nigel doesn't have any details yet of when his surgery will take place. But sometimes the waiting is agonizing because you know something still big is coming and it's not here yet. You know, a lot of times we like to get it past us. You know, let's get this thing over. And they're right now still have not given him a date or a time when that will take place. Just know that's into his heart. There's a lot of damage that needs to be repaired there. And that will be an extensive surgery as well when that happens. So let's go to God in prayer. I got a few other names I'll pray for right now too. Father in heaven, I want to bring 150 Christians that are still standing in the gap for you in a country that persecutes Christians to death. I don't know. I mean, I can imagine, but I don't know how these 150 feel each day they get up, knowing that a target's on their back, could be on their back. They could die that day because they live in a nation that hates Christ, hates Christianity, and hates people that convert from Islam to Christianity. So just pray. We pray, Father, that you'll protect them. Pray for the voices of the martyr that are trying to help where they can. Allow them to feel your presence today, wherever they are, Father. Being the Lord's day, I would think they would be around your table somewhere, maybe sharing with other Christians. May they draw strength from one another, even though that group is small. Father, I want to lift up a number of names here in our church, people that are needing help and maybe struggling just a little bit with health issues. I want to lift up my brother Ray and Stacy, both here today, knowing that they're having issues with their legs, their knee. With that in mind, I pray for Judy Perry that has excruciating pain in her knee that is just ongoing, and they still can't get to the bottom of that. We pray that maybe this week, Father, with your help, maybe she can get beyond that pain. Maybe she can find a solution. Someone helps her with a solution that will allow this to end soon for her. I pray for Eleanor Robbins, Dell and Colleen, Alberta, Elaine, Father. All of them are in their own ways having some health issues that are ongoing that need attention. Give them wisdom today to make any wise decisions concerning their health. I pray that solutions would be forthcoming. But ultimately, I pray that each one, Father, would feel your healing hand and your comfort upon them. I pray for my brother Nigel, Father, who's still waiting. And I know the wait has to be weighing heavy every day. He knows that something still big is going to happen, that it is something that has to be overcome, and yet he gets no word. So we pray maybe this week will be the week he'll get the final decision, maybe a date time, and may this proceed with your help. We think that already you've guided him to the right people who can do the right thing when it comes to this kind of procedure. And we thank you for the gifts that you give many. And when you look at what doctors do today, it's just obviously amazing, almost borderline miracle just to see things that they can do. But we know that you're the one that gifted them, and that they're maybe an answer and a blessing to us here on this earth. But help him, Father, during this waiting period. Help the anxiety to be small and low each day. Father, we thank you that Pug has come through his surgery. We thank you that he's now in that recovery phase of his total recovery. We thank you that he was able to be moved to town. And because I know there will be those that know him well here that can continue to be your arms and legs, your mouth, your ears, by just encouraging him, Father, now to stay the course, not to give up, to hang in there through probably some tough days ahead, so that soon he can be back among us without the concerns that he has today. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers, especially in our time of need. I would think that even in a room this size, that there are still others that probably have health concerns or spiritual issues that they're struggling with. And we just pray, Father, that if there's anyone here today that's in need of your help, that when they leave here today, that they would feel your presence and know that you sit on your throne and you do control this universe. And because of that, we know that as we put ourselves and our lives into your hands, we are where we need to be for the help, the comfort, the recovery that only you can sometimes bring into our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what and laid behind the stone. You lived and died, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what fly,
when I was young, long time ago, growing up in Mexico, our family and others in our community would come together to help with big projects that needed to be done. Sometimes it was building a home, you know, a small home. Our homes were made out of adobe, clay, bricks. We made those bricks by hand, stove with clay, water, and a lot of work. These projects would have taken one family a very long time to complete it, but with many hands helping, it was done in a short time. Not only was a project completed, but we built relationships by working beside and helping one another. A week ago yesterday, a group of our church family met at Lenton's house, at Lenton's farm, to give him a hand with refilling and planting his hydroponic pots. It would have been a huge job for just him and Tammy, but with the many hands, the help, it was done in one day. The saying, many hands make a light work, is so truth. We come together as a body to do many things here at South Haven. Maintaining our building, the grounds, community projects, widowers work days, and many other things. But one of the most important thing we do as a body is the taking a communion each Lord's Day. When we come together, it brings us closer together as a body, but most importantly, it helps us draw closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a time when we focus on Him and His incredible sacrifice for us. Although we born again believers partake of communion together as a body, it is also a very private time when we look inward and examine ourselves, just as the Word of God commanded us to do. As we eat the bread and drink the juice, that represents His body and blood, let's remember the love that Jesus has for each one of us. There is no greater love than that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for coming to this earth, knowing that you was going to be crucified. But you willingly do it for us. You allowed us to put you on the cross. But you let us do it because you have so much love for us. We thank you as we take the bread and the juice. Bless it as we remember your sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come and remember you, Father, and remember the things that you've done for us, Father. We bring back a portion of that love that we have for you, Father, in these tithes and offerings. We pray that you will help us to use these in many ways around this community and also around the world, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bibles with you this morning. Turn with me to Philippians, New Testament, Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 12 through 14 here in just a few moments. We have a guest with us today. Hopefully you received a bulletin as you entered our building, and there within the bulletin you'll find an outline to this morning's message. I've entitled today's message, Revolutionary Resolutions. I've got you this time, Dad, declared Jerry as he came in from school. I want you to listen to this. Three frogs were sitting on a log. One frog decided to jump. How many were left on the log? Well, if one jumped, two would be left, his dad replied. And the boy just shook his head. No, no, no. Oh, I see, his father tried again. When the one jumped, the others did too. That's just the way frogs are. So none are left, right? You sure missed this one, Dad, smiled Jerry. Well, what's the answer? They were still three on the log. Don't you see, Dad? The frog only decided to jump. He didn't jump. This sounds like many of our New Year's resolutions, don't they? That's the point. We decide, emphasis on that word decide, that we're going to do something this year. We talk up a storm. We tell everybody what we're about to do. We might even ask some people, you know, you might want to encourage me just a little bit. And that's about as far as it ever goes. We only decide. We never really get started on what we've decided to do. We just talk about it. It's like the elementary school principal who came to all his teachers one day in the new year, and he says, "Let's all write out our New Year's resolutions about how we can be better teachers, and then I'll take them all and I will put them up onto the staff bulletin board so that we can all read them. And in that way, then we can mutually support one another in their effort to try to reach those goals that they've set for themselves." And all the teachers shook their head. They all said, "We're in agreement. All right." And when all the resolutions were posted, they all crowded around the bulletin board. They wanted to see what everybody put down. And then all of a sudden, one of the younger teachers in the group suddenly went into a fit of rage. She said, "He didn't put up my resolution. It was one of the first ones that were ever turned in. He doesn't even care about me." The principal, who overheard this from his office, was mortified. He did not mean to overlook this teacher or her resolution, and so he quickly rummages through all the papers on his desk. He found it and immediately went to the bulletin board and tacked it up. The resolution said this from this young teacher: "I resolve not to let little things upset me anymore." You see, she decided to do something, but that is about as far as it went. Of course, resolutions aren't an end in themselves. We know that, and we need to remind ourselves of that. But the right resolutions, carried out faithfully, can bring about revolutionary changes, I believe, in our lives. And this, I believe, is what took place in the Apostle Paul's life. I think he made some powerful resolutions for his own life, and because he was faithful to them to the very end of his life, I think Paul is seen as a very revolutionary spiritual figure of his day. And so this morning, as we enter this new year, 2024, let's look at several of Paul's revolutionary resolutions in order that we might be challenged, perhaps, to do the same in each of our lives. There are three. There are three resolutions, I think, that are found here in our text this morning. So let's read this together. This is making too much noise for some reason, so I'm going to try to see if I can cut that noise down a little bit. All right, Philippians chapter 3. Look there at verses 12 now. I'm going to read 12, 13, and 14 together. It's kind of a paragraph here. Paul's writing. He's writing to Christians at Philippi. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this, nor have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All right. Several resolutions here. I want to try to unpack each one individually. So let's look at the first revolutionary resolution that Paul makes here. It's in the first part of verse 13. Come back to verse 13, if you will. When Paul says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Now, he's declaring something here, and that's what we want to look at. In other words, I would tell you his resolution for his life is, I am not going to become satisfied with myself spiritually. I am not going to become satisfied with myself spiritually. Context is important here. Let's not forget who's writing and what he did in his lifetime after he became a Christian. Here was the great Apostle Paul coming, I think, to the end of his life. But here he is, a man who probably did more than all the other apostles put together, that as far as probably traveling and winning souls to Christ. He certainly started more churches than all the others, wrote more books and letters than all the others. And yet, right here in this passage, he told the Christians at Philippi that he was not satisfied with himself spiritually. In our day, we would call him a spiritual giant. We would call him someone that is so far ahead of us we can't even see where he's gone. A giant. And yet Paul is saying to those Christians, I still have room for growth in my life. Folks, it is a terrible It is terribly dangerous, I would say, for any one of us to think that he has done all that he can do for God in this life. When we become satisfied with ourselves spiritually, that is when we become overconfident. And when we fall into this trap of Satan, I do believe it's a trap, that's when we begin to make, I think, some major spiritual mistakes. Glaring mistakes sometimes in our life. For example, everyone has seen an overconfident athlete. If you watch the Olympics on any given year or over the years, there are a lot of different stories about athletes that became overconfident. They slip up. Elmon Coughlin made such a mistake on March 6, 1987. This was the Irish world record holder of the 1500 meter. He was running not in a final race, but he was running in a qualifying heat in the world indoor track competition that was being held in Indianapolis, Indiana that year. With 2.5 laps left of this race, 1500 meter, he was tripped. He fell. But he managed to get up, and with great effort, he managed to catch the leaders of that race. He then put himself in the lead, and with only 20 yards left in the race, he found himself only in third place at that point. But good enough to qualify for the finals, good enough to come back in another race when he was much more better prepared. But this confidence or overconfidence here in this moment made him do something that you should never do when you run a race. As he was coming down to the wire, he looked over his left shoulder. I'm told you never look back, but he looked back. He looked to the inside, and seeing that no one was there, he let up. But another runner charging hard on the outside that he did not see passed Coughlin a yard before the finish, thus eliminating him from the finals. A world record holder. He made a fundamental mistake. I think the moral of the story is that you must not become overconfident at anything that you do, and that is definitely true here within the church. It's true, so true of your spiritual life. Never become overconfident. Christianity has been compared to riding a bicycle. If you don't keep moving forward, you're liable to fall. The great Apostle Paul did not feel, after living the last years of his life, doing more than anybody else on earth, I believe, for the Church of Jesus Christ, he did not feel that he had reached the goal of moral and spiritual perfection in Christ. He still had work to be done. And so he was not going to become satisfied with himself spiritually, but rather he was going to press on. That's what he says in this passage. I'm going to press on toward the goal. What? You haven't reached it yet? 13 of our New Testament books written by Paul. Start at more churches than you can count. No, I've not reached it. If we're not careful, folks, we can find ourselves saying at times in our life, I've been a church member for years. I don't need to do, and then you can fill in the blank. I don't need to go to Sunday school anymore. I already know what goes on in Sunday school. Oh, that's all that basic stuff, you know. I know the basic stuff. Oh, preacher, I don't need to be part of a ministry. You know, I put my time in already. Why would I need to do another ministry? You see, we're dealing with overconfident Christians who think they've arrived. And we never have arrived, folks, as long as we're here on this earth. There's always something God can challenge us with. Something, a new ministry, a new avenue, a new opportunity, another open door. It breaks my heart when a Christian says, oh, preach, I've already done that. I don't need to do it anymore. Ah, really? I sat in there last week and I learned something I hadn't learned in a while. Many churches, I think, are full of people who are spiritual midgets living in giant-sized shells of church activity. Let that sink down. Let's learn from Paul that we must not become satisfied with ourselves in any way spiritually or morally, but rather we must keep pressing on, stretching ourselves, trying to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ while we're still here on this earth. And as we grow, may we never forget what God has called us to do. It's our mission statement. He has called us to do the same thing that His Son did when He was here. And I always tell people, you know, when they say, well, I don't need to be here and here and here and here and do this and do that. I say, well, let me ask you, how many souls have you saved? You've been here a lifetime, you say. You've been in church all your life. How many souls have you saved? That's the mission. That's our mission, collectively as a church, but also individually. Have you saved one? Two? And many people who are doing the loudest complaining of, I don't need to do anything, haven't done a thing when it comes to our mission statement. They've not won a disciple. They've not baptized a person. They haven't been involved in any kind of teaching. I always tell you, if you don't want to be in Sunday school, then maybe you need to be a teacher. You know, you don't have to sit in a class. Why don't you teach a class? I'd love to start another class. I need a teacher, though. Man, this is a powerful resolution right here. Not to become satisfied with ourselves, but to keep striving to do more while we're here on this earth. Number two, a second revolutionary resolution right here in the same text, same verse actually, is where Paul says, I'm not going to let my past rob me of the joys of living for Christ in the present. It's in the last part of verse 13. Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I believe that this scripture should be read every December 31st of every year before we walk into a new year. It needs to remind us that we can't change the past. The past is where it needs to be, in the past. Let's let go of it. But we can't allow these mistakes, perhaps that we made, we can let them go, or we can allow them to rob us of the joys of living in Christ in the present. Paul uses the illustration of a foot race in our text, not the one we just read, but here in this context. When he was converted, he left the starting line. And he has now run much of the course of that race that was set before him. But he isn't going to quit until he crosses the finish line, until he receives the crown of life. Temporary setbacks, disagreements, problems will all come to all of us. It did for Paul. But like Paul, we can strive to do better. And as we live for Christ in this present, there are joys and blessings that God wants to give us, and many times we miss them because we're so focused on, well, I did this wrong, and I didn't quite do this last year. Let it go. Sometimes these goals that we set, people say, but we didn't do what we did. I said, forget last year. It's over. We did our best. We got new goals. We got 47. Let's focus on that. We got 47,000. Let's focus on that. But we didn't. It doesn't matter. It's over. The year's passed. We've paid all our bills. We've done what we had to do. New year. Let's make it a banner year. But let me tell you, the past is a real tool of the enemy that he tries to bog us down so that we will not receive and enjoy some of the blessings that God wants to give us here in the present. Paul, you know, what a past he had. I'm sure that haunted him a lot because he killed Christians. He persecuted Christians. He would have fit into the 1040 window perfectly. He was that kind of person. Anybody that converted from the Jewish faith to Christianity, he would put them in jail or kill them or make their life miserable. That's his previous life. And then God finally got a hold of him, sent his son to talk to him face to face, so to speak, and it changed his life. And so the last part of his life, he had to let that go, I believe, to do what he did. To be the man that he became and the writer that he became, he had to let that past go to do the great things that Paul achieved in the last years of his life. Living in the shattered ruins of a dead past, I would tell you, robs a Christian of joyous present opportunities and a glorious future hope. Don't dwell in a world of crumbled pages from yesterday. Turn the page to a fresh, clean sheet that tomorrow brings. Accept and believe God's promises to forgive. And let's move on. Paul's last resolution in our text is there in verse 14, when Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul, I believe, is saying, here's the resolution. I'm not going to take my eyes off the goal that has been set before me. I'm going to keep my eyes on what it is that Christ wants me to focus in on. The Christian is not chasing some imaginary pot of gold at the end of a fictitious rainbow, but rather he is pressing on toward full maturity, I believe, in Christ Jesus. Picture the scene that Paul describes. A runner is bent forward, his body leaning. He's reaching out for the goal that's ahead. He knows where he is going. The same should be true of every Christian here today. We must not take our eyes off the goal that God and Christ, his Son, has given to us. Of course, at the beginning of any new year, it is appropriate to ask yourself, I think, do I have a goal this year? Now, again, our box up here is open for as long as anybody wants to put their goals in here, but I have put at least five envelopes. Goals, 10 goals. People put different things on their envelope, but that was the challenge, to write out 10 goals for your life for this year. And if you're willing to put it in an envelope and seal it and allow us to kind of look at it a year from now, they've done this a lot, and statistically, usually if you can write out your goals and have them that clear in your mind, 8 of the 10 will be fulfilled by year's end. Now let me tell you, that's better than none. That's better than one. And the reason why usually it's 0 or 1 is because people decide to do something and then they forget what it is. They never wrote it out. They have nothing that reminds them what their goal is. 5 of you are going to know what your goals are because we're going to open those envelopes up. We're going to ask you to read them. And then we're going to ask you how many of those 10 were fulfilled this year. Now again, it's not a perfect science. I'm just saying that they've done this long enough that statistically, those that do it, they find that 8 of the 10 get completed and accomplished. And I can understand the science behind it, or the process, because if we have those goals clear in our minds and we wrote them out and we were disciplined enough to do that, then it's here. It's in us. We know. And I would say if you wrote them out, I hope you wrote out an extra copy, you know, or made a copy of your copy that you gave to the church here, because you need to refer back to it. And I thank the 5 that did that, because it will drive and motivate many of us maybe to stretch ourselves toward the goal this year, the goals that we set for our lives. Here are a few questions to help you here with this last resolution. The question is, do I have a goal in mind this year? But then we need to ask some other additional questions to help us on this. All right, so here are a few questions. What new service will I render for Christ in my church this coming year? Now, some of you here in the next 2 weeks are going to be asked or told or follow up on our ministry system. And many of you are going to begin a new ministry. Thank you very much. And to me, that's a great goal, is to become part of a ministry here within the church. It's not something God wants us to just sit on the sideline. Another question, how much can I increase my weekly offerings to the Lord? I mean, there are so many stories, especially with Faith Promise. Faith Promise to me is much more exciting in a sense, because when I make that faith promise, I have no idea where that money is coming from. When I make my pledge kind of to the church of how I'm going to support the church, I already know kind of what I make in a year, and I know what I can probably tithe. It's a known number. Faith Promise is not a known number to me. And so when I make a faith promise, I'm always looking and how's God going to help me do something that I don't have money for? And so I'll tell you real quick. I'll give you my testimony. It happened in 1 week. I made a promise that was more than I've done before, and I didn't know, Lord, I don't know where it's going to come from. I made one call this week. I told an insurance agent, a new agent that I sought out. I said, I want you to look at the insurance I have on these vehicles, and can you beat it? And give me a call back. One call. She calls back and she says, I beat it. Of course, you know, you asked that how much. Now, I'm not going to tell you how much, but I can tell you it was more and more and more than that faith promise I ever made. Thousands of dollars she saved me with one phone call. Now, that's not money in my mailbox. You know, some people say, is the Lord going to put money in my mailbox? Well, some of you may have that testimony. But I know that I'm going to save thousands of dollars this year on insurance. And it's way, way, way more than the faith promise I made. What does that tell you? I can make my faith promise. Who put the thought in my mind to call a car agent and see if I could say, I wasn't thinking about it, but I did afterwards, because I said I didn't know how I was going to make the money. I said, I got to start looking for ways of maybe saving money or making money or getting, because God will open a door for me. One phone call. While she was at it, I said, hey, can you check our church insurance? I'm just curious. She called me back a day later. She says, I just saved you another $1,500. Church. I said, oh, you're my favorite car insurance agent right now. I'm going to look for more insurance and see if I can just save some more money wherever I can save it, because you can. Amazing when we can set some goals and then we start moving toward it. Questions. Who can I invite to this church this year? Who are the sick and the shut-ins in this church? And can I do something to encourage those that can't be here? How far will I go in my Bible reading program this year? Out there in the foyer, you have 5 different Bible reading programs. That's going to go away here in another week. Take a peek. Maybe there's something you can do this year. Will I begin attending Sunday school or Wednesday night? We've already challenged you with those to think about. We have 5 Soul Sundays this year. I hope that we all get involved and that we do what we can. Inventor Thomas A. Edison set himself up on an ambitious goal. His goal was to come up with a major new invention every 6 months and a minor invention every 10 days. That was his goal for his life. When he died, he had 1,093 U.S. patents. We always think of maybe just one or two, but he had 1,093 U.S. patents, and he had over 2,000 foreign ones, foreign patents. Did he reach his goal? I don't think he ever stopped. He kept pressing on because he set a very lofty goal for himself. You see, Edison knew that by setting such goals for himself and striving to reach them, he was bound to increase his output. And I believe that the same principle applies here in the church. No matter what goals we set for ourselves, they are bound, if we set them, they are bound to help us have more results in this coming year. But the concern that many people have is, will I have time to work on these goals? Will I have time to work on these resolutions? And I think the answer always will be, it depends on your priorities. That's the bottom line. Filmmaker Walt Disney was ruthless in cutting anything that got in the way of a story's pace, as he would describe it. Ward Kimball, one of the animators for Snow White, recalls working 240 days on a 4.5-minute sequence in which the dwarfs made soup for Snow White and almost destroyed the kitchen in the process. Do you remember that scene in the movie? No, you don't. Why? Walt Disney thought it was funny, but he decided that the scene just stopped the flow of the picture. So he cut it. 4.5 minutes, 240 days of a man's life and his work, gone, because it wasn't needed, according to Walt Disney. This year, if we want to accomplish some great things for God and grow in our spiritual lives, we may have to eliminate, here it comes, you ready? We may have to eliminate some good things from our lives to make way for greater things that God wants to do through us. I want you to think about the good things now. Don't take your eyes off the goal that God has set before you. I would tell you that any resolution that you make for God, I think He will help you. But we live in a busy world, a busy society. But just remember that all of us have the same amount of hours in any given week, and it's just about how we want to prioritize it. But I tell you, time is like money. It's very, very easy to lose track of how much time and or how much money we waste. My insurance agent says, I cannot believe that you spent that much money last year. I didn't know I was wasting that much money. I thought I had good insurance. She says, you had good insurance, but you paid 10 times as much as you should have. Which told me I need to be looking a little more closely at everything I'm spending. And don't assume. Gone. But I'm not going to worry about it, because I got a new year. And I've just saved thousands of dollars. And guess what? I already know before the year starts that my faith promise is paid for. Not paid for today, because it'll come in time, because I'm not going to pay out thousands of dollars that I would have normally paid out. I'm covered. Praise God. Now I can maybe give a little extra for something else. You see how that works? Ah, God is good. But you got to prioritize money and time. What is it that I'm going to give God this year with my time? How much of my money am I going to give to God? And how much am I going to trust Him for? Because let me tell you, I just shared one, but I tell you there's probably a dozen testimonies in this church that can tell you as soon as they made a faith promise for the very first time, within days, weeks, or months, something happened. And all of a sudden, their faith promise paid for. Or at least they know in real time that it'll be paid for. You got a year to do it. So that's a nice thing. You got a year to pay that faith promise you made to God, and you got a year to bring in one soul. This is the year, folks. We've set our two biggest goals in this church. I don't know if you know that, but I do believe. Why do we advertise? These are our two biggest goals that we ever do in this church. It drives us. Drives us to do what? To fulfill our mission statement. That's why we put them out there. That's why we have thermometers, because we want to keep reminding everybody the goal. Here's the goal. Strive for it. Reach out for it. Don't forget it. And I think that if we're all on the same page and we're all the same goal, and guess what? People always accuse me, those are just preacher numbers up there. You know what that means when they say preacher numbers? Yeah. They think that I just put a number up there that I think this church can do. You just put a preacher number up there. I said, no, that's a church number. That's what we did as a church right there, 47. That is what we did as a church last week. It's not a preacher number. That's why I'm proud of those numbers, because we did those. And I'm all in on them. I'm burning the candle. I told you, I'm burning the candle at both ends. I know what I'm doing now. My two biggest goals for this church are set. I know what I need to do. Now I need to help you come up with a strategy. And strategy number one happens in 3 weeks. You got an insert in your bulletin. Read it. Read it. Read it over. Try to do as many of those suggestions as possible, because if we're all on the same page, if we're all dealing with our neighbor. You know, I came into my neighborhood last night a little late, early in the morning. And I drove around my neighborhood just a little bit because it was all wet. I said, I can't challenge people tomorrow, which is today, to walk their neighborhoods and pray for them if I'm not willing to do it myself. So I was driving through my neighborhood, praying for my neighbors before I came home last night. I will walk it, but I thought, well, I'll start with a ride. I'll ride through my neighborhood. And as I rode, I said, I wonder how many neighbors I know. I started counting. Bam, bam. So those are the ones I'm going to try to pray by name, especially when I walk it, because I know them. My neighbors I don't know. I want to get to know them. That'll be one of my other goals this year. Not my first one, but one of my goals, to get to know more of my neighbors by name. Because I believe God put me in the neighborhood I'm in to carry out that mission. I really do. And like Paul, the first half of the time, the first 15 years of my life in that neighborhood, I'm like Paul. I didn't do a thing. But the last part, I've accelerated a little bit. And a lot of my neighbors have been here over the years. Some of my neighbors have become members. Some have left. I still want more to come. Our neighborhoods go into all the nations. I would say our neighborhoods is our first nation that we go to because we live right there. And we do live in some neighborhoods that a lot of nations are represented. I ran into someone the other day. I can't even understand my neighbor. What do you mean you can't? They speak a language I can't understand, and they don't know English, so I can't even talk to them. I said, well, you said that they brought something over. Yeah, they brought something over because they know that I'm having some problems with cancer. Well, how do they know you have cancer if you can't tell them? Well, I didn't have my bandage on his nose, and they saw it. And then they brought me food, thinking that maybe I could use some food. You don't have to know English. If you see a neighbor that's just in need, just do something. They'll know that you know something. That was amazing. You know, a neighbor who saw somebody that had cancer and then thought, well, maybe I could fix something for them or help them out. Yeah, cool. As we come to our time of invitation today, there may be someone here that is outside of Christ. Every Lord's Day, we try to have an invitation so that those that need to make a decision can do that. Someone said last week, you didn't have an invitation. You know, that's the first time in my lifetime when we didn't have an invitation. First time in my lifetime. But you know, I'm going to let that go. I'm not going to let that bother me anymore from this moment on. And now we're going to offer an invitation today. If someone is outside of Christ, this is your time. If there's someone that's a Christian that's been looking for a church home for a while and you've been between churches and you've been with us long enough to know who we are, what we believe, and where we're heading, and you like it, why not? Why not make today the day you join a church that has a mission, and we're on the march to bring 47 people in this church, to raise $47,000 so that we can help people outside this church to complete that mission. See how it all works together? See how if we can stay focused, we may be able to accomplish so much more. And if you like that, now's the time. Come join us. Help us as we stand right now and sing our hymn of decision.
Change my heart, oh.
Okay. I must have put them over here. Okay. I don't know if we have any takers or not, but we usually, our faith promise for this coming year is $47,320. And we do extend this 1 week just to give anybody that could not be with us on Faith Promise Sunday. And we even moved the day a little bit, so that really created just a little bit of a headache for maybe some. But do we have anybody here today that was not here last week maybe that wants to make a soul faith promise? I want to get this going as we make a few announcements, but if you can raise your hand, I'll make sure that I see one, two hands, three hands. All right, so I'm going to send four or five of these. Wayne, if you could help me. All right, now if you can raise your hand as Wayne comes down, and take a moment to fill that out. If you just wait at the back for a few minutes and then work your way back up, if you can just send them to the inside aisle, Wayne will pick those up. We'll tabulate that real quick before you leave here today. We'll try to expedite this as quick as possible. All right, in your bulletins, got a little insert there. Neighbor Day, I'm proud of this. I'm hoping that you got a little checkoff list there, some ideas. I'm just encouraging you to try to do as many as you can. You know, some of us can do more of them than others because we live in a neighborhood. You know, when I was driving my neighborhood last night, I thought about that, Chico. I said, you really got to drive your neighborhood, don't you? You know, if you were to walk your neighborhood, you'd die. You know, if you think about where some people live, you know, they live out in the boonies, as I call it, and, you know, their next neighbor is, you know, a mile down the street, you know. So mine are not, but I think you do want to drive or walk the neighborhood as much as you can and just get a feel for it before Neighbor Day. And then I'm hoping that you'll be able to do some praying. Are all the faith promises in? I want Wayne to catch everything. Do we have any other cards that need to be picked up? Yes? No? All right. Very good. I'm going to go ahead and take those. All right, on the back of your bulletins, again, there are a number of announcements that we need to emphasize. We hope that you'll pay attention to it. In the foyer, very important, Neighbor Day sign-up. This is, every one of these Soul Sundays, every member can do something. I mean, oh, there's nothing for me to do. Yes, fix something, bring something. We need food on those days. And so you can sign up and say, well, I'm going to make this or I'm going to bring this. Any and everything that we bring together is special, I think, for the day. And I hope you're telling your neighbors that you can bring those things as well. I like that slide right there because I use it a lot. You know, I hope that you realize that a friend inviting me to church is 87%. You know, after they survey thousands of people, they said 87 of them said it was a friend, a neighbor, who invited me to church. That's why I'm in church today. And so I just want you to know that that is the case. Did you just hand me two, or did I drop? All right, two. Okay. Any other cards that need to be picked up? How many did you pass out? Just two? Oh, okay. All right. I saw a couple of hands. I didn't know if ever got one. All right, so I'm going to ask Reuben. You said you wanted to make an announcement. If you'll come to the front here. Some of you have met Reuben. He's not a member in our church yet, but he's been coming. And he's been involved in a couple of our activities. He spent the day. Come on down. He spent the day with us over there at Linton Senior's house. I was stuffing coconut fiber down into buckets, but you know that fiber is heavy. It really is. You know, I had a weight limit. You know, I couldn't lift a lot. But I could lift a handful of dirt, you know. But Reuben here, and I know Steve and Don, they were carrying the buckets, you know. I don't know how heavy those things were, but I know when they were full of water, that is, the fiber had absorbed the water. Those buckets, I know, had to be heavy. And but Reuben was one of those guys that brought a lot of that fiber down the rows and dumped it in the buckets so that we could then transport them into 800 little buckets. And so I really appreciated his involvement. And he wants to just share one thing here. And I told him he could do that because he's been here long enough that there's something that I think is a concern that he just wants to share. And we're going to let you do it. The mic's on, so you can go ahead and share.
Thank you. My name is Reuben. For those of you who don't know me at all, I'd like to share a story with you about my wife. Thank you for the most of you who did pray for my wife. She has passed away in April of last year, the 17th, at 2:32 p.m. She was, before that happened, she was on hospice for a while. During that time, her nurse kept coming in and out weekly for about a couple of years. After that, this past year, her nurse stayed with her. Almost every day, she had a nurse that stayed with us overnight as well. Coming and going, giving her medicine for the pain so she won't suffer as she dies. She was in comfort. She died in my arms during the morning of the 17th at 2:32 p.m. Her nurse could declare her dead because she was cold as ice immediately because she was on blood thinner. I would like to thank most of you who prayed for her and prayed for me. I'm still going through a hard time. I do not communicate well with people. So don't mind me. I do not talk much either, unless I'm approached. And my wife is now with God. I've been with her, married to her for 22 years. So that makes her, at the age that she died of, at the age of 84, she's now in heaven with God. I'm glad she's out of pain. I'm glad she's not suffering anymore. Before she died, she pushed me away. I don't know how to explain it. She pushed me away, that fought with me. She knew she was gonna die. She pushed me away, so I won't see it. But it didn't happen. Oh, the further she tried to push me, the more I came to her. Because I didn't want to see her suffer by herself. I had to hold her. I didn't want to walk out of the house and be mean that way. She was a great lady behind me, who stood behind me for everything. And we shared our birthday together, which is in December. We both have a birthday on December 5th, on the same day. 25 years difference. We are supposed to share Christmas with each other, which is great. Which is great. After that, when she passed away, I cried badly because I knew I was going to be alone, which I am now. It's a lonely sight to be by yourself. She pushed me to do everything, made me learn everything about life, about bills, about everything, about how wonderful to cook and everything. She was the love of my life. So now she's resting in peace. Yes, I'm still wearing her ring, which is good. I'm never going to take it off. Not for no one, unless I get married again. But when I do, it'll be hanged with her cross here with me. I also have a cross, a small one. I don't know how to explain it. She was feisty with me. She was Italian. She was Italian, I was Mexican, and I still am. I can speak a different language to you, all of you, but none of you will understand it, because the volume of the Mexican language is hard to take in. But I do thank everyone here who has prayed for my wife and I. My wife cannot thank you, but I do. And I'm glad to be here in this church. Because a lady last weekend, as I was beginning to leave, approached me. She asked me how my wife was. That blew it for me. I didn't want to talk about my wife. But I don't know if she's here today or not. But that brought me to come to all of your attention. All of you. You all are wonderful people. I'm glad to be here. But I am very much hurt. This April 17th at 2:32 p.m. will make 1 year my wife has passed away. I'm not looking for pity. I can't stand that. Sorrow, like saying you're sorry, that's great, but I'm not looking for pity. This is not why I'm up here. I'm trying to ease some of your minds wondering, probably most of you are wondering where my wife is at when I come to church. She's not with me. She's with me in heart and in spirit. She is in an urn on top of the table in our house, where she wants to be. I tell the time for me to come to be with her. We will both be in the same urn. We both don't want to be. I don't wish to be cremated. I'm saying all this to you because I like to stop the rumor. Stop people asking me, how's your wife when I don't have one anymore? You may approach me at any time, but do not approach my right side. It's blind. Because my right side, my right arm, will protect my right side now. And I thank you all. God bless you all. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. All right. I want to thank Reuben for sharing that concern. You know, when we have guests share with us and stay for a while, we don't know much of their background. Now, long time members, when they lose someone, we do know, and so we know the right moments, the right times to probably say things. Our elders last night, we got 17 widows in this 17 in this small church, and I think four of those are widowers, and all that brings about different concerns and issues. The length of mourning, you know, talking about things. Sometimes people want to talk, sometimes they don't, and I think Reuben was just trying to indicate that someone not knowing probably said something about if he had a wife or if his wife was coming, and of course that's just not knowing, and so he's caught us up to speed. I hope that we'll take all that to heart and pray for him. I didn't know he was a widower until a little bit was shared, you know, and I know that widowers do carry a burden for usually the rest of their life. To lose a spouse of a lifetime is a hard loss for anyone. All right, I see birthdays. We did not celebrate a couple birthdays last week. We just had so much going on with our David being here and the soul, a faith promise, etc. But I can see of the three, Joe, I think you're the man of the hour. Are the other two here by chance for birthdays? All right, so we're going to sing happy birthday to Joe here in a minute. And before we do that, Larry and Eileen Gunderson, I can't remember the number now. How many? 75. First time I've met somebody that I know that reached the 70. Isn't 75 the diamond? The diamond? Anniversary. Whew. The gold is 50. I think diamond is the 75th. So if you know Larry and Eileen, they're both still alive, still at their present address that is in our directory. You can certainly send a card or a call and wish them a happy anniversary. Oh, Dale and Colleen, they're here. How many years back there, brother? How many years has this marriage been together? How close to 75 are you? Very good.
Down there, and boy, come up a blizzard. There was a blizzard like you wouldn't believe. Looked at her, we only had it 12 months. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and be back Monday. So we turned around and come back up north from where we were at to Elizabethtown, Kentucky. We had to stop before we got in a blizzard there that was unbelievable. And as we pulled in, I said, well, I can't think of a better place to spend our wedding night. 61 years ago. God has blessed us so bountifully, I cannot begin to tell you folks. He blessed us with three children that, if you know them, you know what I'm talking about. And I got to admit, the last year and a half has been very, very difficult. You know, when you get driven from your home by a flood and you have to go someplace that you don't know. We didn't even know the people that we were with for 4 months. Beforehand, really. And then all the things that happened after that, I'm not going into that. But I just want to thank you all for your prayers. I know you've been praying for us. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate it. I appreciated what the things that you said this morning too, brother. But, hey, brother. You know, life is short, guys and gals. Love God with all your heart first. You got a spouse. Church. Take care of them. Before them.
Let's do our thing, guys. Happy birthday. Love, Al, still in our service. All right, any other announcements? Pay attention to the sign-ups, please, especially our Neighbor Day. It's only in 3 weeks. We'd like to begin collecting names for food. We'll make sure we got plenty of food signed up. I see Becky's hand up. Yes? Okay, very good. Thank you for that. All right, we ended last week with $47,320, and with what has come in through the week and what has come in here today, I am happy to announce that our goal for 2024 for our missions program for the year is $49,020. $49,020. So thank you very much for that. And we haven't had 49 in quite a while, so that's just maybe showing the trend. I hope we have a trend this year. I hope that you're coming every week looking for souls to be coming, people coming down this aisle, missionaries and mission organizations that are getting support it, and news that is coming out, and I hope that I threw this out a few weeks ago, but it's still dearer to my heart. I'm hoping that at least once a month, our attendance on Wednesday night for our dinner at 6 and our prayer time afterwards can be more rounded church-wise. I just think this is the year we need to pull out the stops when it comes to prayer. And we need to do it together, collectively. And why not come for a dinner and some prayer once a month? And we got five of these big days that we need to start really focusing in on. We got still the 10:40 window we want to complete with gusto, and not forgetting not one country, so that we complete that project. That's not this Wednesday. You're welcome any Wednesday, because we have Bible study at 7, but that last Wednesday is prayer and fellowship dinner at 6 and prayer right afterwards. And I hope that you'll think about that as maybe a new resolution. Just don't decide it, though. Do it. Just don't decide that you might attend. Do it. And let's stand, and we're going to have our closing prayer here today. Thank you for being with us. We thank you for the guests that are with us as well. We hope that if you are right here in our community, that perhaps next Lord's Day you'll come and share with us again. Let's go to God in prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we thank you for this grand total of $49,020. We pray that in this coming year that we'll see your mighty arm and hand at work in our lives as you move and open doors and provide opportunities and bless us with extra income, so that we can not only meet this faith promise goal, but we can achieve the 47 souls in a year's time this year. And may we, as Paul says in our text today, may we set our eyes on that goal. May we not take our eyes off of it. And may we work hard together, Father, to accomplish something great for your kingdom here at South Haven in 2024. Be with us now as we depart. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's close with this closing course. Let's go take this sip.